So, you have a movie for me?
Yes, sir, I do. It's called Love Actually.
Well, don't correct me. I didn't even try to guess the title.
No, Love Actually is the name of it.
Yeah, no, I understand. Okay, tell me about this love movie.
You'll figure it out when you see the poster. So this is a movie that takes place in London in the month leading up to Christmas, right?
Okay.
And it's a bunch of love-related storylines that are ever so slightly intertwined.
Oh, they are?
Yeah, because or else this would just be a bunch of short films.
Nobody wants to see that.
Exactly. So once in a while, it's gonna be like, oh, I guess those two work together.
Mate, so tell me about these storylines.
Well, one of them follows the new Prime Minister, David.
Right.
And as soon as he walks in on his first day, he meets this junior staff member, Natalie, and he's like, oh, well, that's inconvenient. I could really see myself sleeping with her.
That's happened to me at every job I've had in this industry.
So one day, the U.S. president visits, and David lets him walk all over him, but then he sees him getting handsy with Natalie, so he publicly humiliates him in front of the entire world.
He risked the well-being of his nation because he got jealous over a girl?
Yeah, he's a hero now, and another story line follows his sister, Karen.
Okay.
And her husband, who I was thinking we get Alan Rickman to play, he's allowing himself to get seduced by his new secretary at the office, where he's the big boss.
So is this movie just powerful men wanting to sleep with their employees?
Eh, only like a third of the storylines.
Oh, that's not too bad.
Anyway, another storyline's about another one of Alan Rickman's female employees.
Is he trying to hook up with her too?
No, not this one.
Okay, gotcha.
He just brings her into his office and is like, hey, everybody knows about the crush you have on another employee, so you should go sleep with him ASAP.
Oh, inappropriate Snapes are tight.
Yeah, this office doesn't have an HR department or something. So she's about to do that, but then they get interrupted by phone calls from her mentally ill brother, who she takes care of, so it doesn't work out and they do not do it.
Bummer.
No, he does not get to.
What?
So she kind of accepts, well, I guess I'll never find romantic love because I choose to take care of my brother.
Wow, and so how does her story end?
It just did.
Oh.
But then earlier in the movie, she was a guest at this wedding, which involves another one of our storylines.
And what's that one about?
Well, there's this guy Mark, right? And there's his best friend Peter, who's gonna marry this girl Juliet.
Okay.
And when we meet them, they're talking about how Mark hired a bunch of prostitutes for the bachelor party who turned out to be men.
He did what now?
And then he freaking surprises them by having a bunch of musicians pop out at their wedding. I mean, the rows are just filled with musicians.
Wait, was anyone actually attending that wedding?
Unclear. But so then one day Juliet comes over because she wants to see the wedding video he was shooting, but he doesn't want her to see it.
Why not?
Well, turns out it was all just close-up shots of her that he filmed for himself, because he likes her.
What was he gonna do with that in his video collection?
Gross and weird stuff, presumably. So he's so embarrassed, he walks around town, does one of those embarrassment squats.
I don't think that's a thing.
But it might be. So when he's done squatting out his bad feelings, he builds up the courage to go to her house and confess his love.
Does she not live with her husband, his best friend?
No, she does, but he thought of this clever thing where when she opens the door, he's got this confession written out on big pieces of cardboard, and he plays some music so she can tell her husband it's carol singers.
But what if the husband had been the one to open the door?
Hey, shut up. So after he confesses his love, he starts to walk away, but she catches up with him and gives him a big old kiss.
She does?
Yeah, so that just goes to show, you know. Infidelity can be kind of nice sometimes.
What are you talking about?
And speaking of infidelity, this guy Jamie, his girl cheated on him while he was at that same wedding.
In a nice way?
No, this one was in a bad way. So he goes to stay at this French cottage and he falls in love with his Portuguese housekeeper, Aurelia.
Yeah, I mean, it seems like all these characters are really turned on by the employer-employee dynamic.
And they can't communicate because they don't speak the same language. But we see with the subtitles that they're kind of saying the same thing. They got a lot in common.
All right.
And when he gets back from his trip, he decides to learn kind of passable Portuguese before Christmas.
He's gonna learn a language in like a week?
Sure is. And then he flies back to see her and turns out she did kind of the same thing with English. So then he proposes to her in front of everybody.
He proposes?
Yeah, so now they're gonna get married and she's gonna move to London and leave her family behind.
They haven't even had a conversation yet. Maybe start with a coffee?
No, it's proposal right away, coffee and first conversation later.
Wasn't he in a serious relationship like 3 weeks earlier? That's kind of a red flag.
Red's the color of love and Christmas.
Ah, can't argue with that.
Then there's this other guy, Colin, and he was a waiter at that wedding and his whole thing is he wants to go to America to get laid.
And this is a Christmas movie.
Yeah, I mean, what's says Christmas spirit like trying to go bang American women.
Arguably anything else.
So he goes to Wisconsin and immediately multiple beautiful women want to sleep with him because he's British.
Did the Wisconsin Tourism Board bribe you or something?
A little bit.
Well, okay then. I foresee lots of British guys going on pretty disappointing trips to Wisconsin in the future.
For sure. And then Colin has a friend who works on a movie set.
Oh my god, how many storylines are there?
So many. Just so many.
Alright.
So on this movie set, there are two body doubles and they're kind kind of shy, but they're going to fall in love.
Oh, that's sweet.
While pretending to rub their junk on each other over and over again.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, I thought it might be fun to include some stuff that makes this movie kind of weird to watch with your parents.
Yeah, sure, why not?
And then there is this guy who is somehow friends with the Prime Minister's sister who is being cheated on by her husband, and his wife dies, and he's now in charge of his stepson.
What?
It's all connected, baby.
Yeah, kinda.
And this kid's in love with a girl at school, so he decides he needs to play the drums at this big Christmas show they have going on.
Wouldn't they have already chosen a drummer for that a couple of weeks before Christmas?
Apparently not, so now he's gotta learn to play the drums.
He doesn't know how to play?
No, so then he learns and nails the show.
These British people are fast learners.
And the Prime Minister's secretary's younger brother is also in this show.
I'm gonna need you to make me a chart or something.
And that's gonna lead to this funny moment where the curtain rises and you just see the Prime Minister making out with his secretary.
Yikes.
What?
Well, it's gonna be tough for him to navigate that scandal.
Actually, it's gonna be super easy. Barely an inconvenience.
Oh, really?
Yeah, see, because it's Christmas, everybody just claps, and so that's settled.
Oh, okay, nice.
But then that kid's love interest is moving to America.
What, immediately after the Christmas Eve show?
Yes, she's headed from the show to the airport and to America forever.
What?
So this kid's gotta chase her down and do a bunch of gymnastics at the airport and confess his love.
Gymnastics?
You can cut that part out if you like.
Wow, so this kid must be in massive trouble.
None whatsoever.
Airport security's notoriously hardcore, especially now.
Why, what happened?
So that's it, right? Like, that's all the stories?
That's it, sir. Well, no, there's also an aging rock star named Billy Mack who puts out a terrible Christmas album and then leans into how bad it is to end up having the number one Christmas song in Britain.
Okay.
And so he gets invited to a big party at Elton John's house, but then he leaves the party to go hang with his manager, who he loves.
Well, that's kind of nice. He couldn't have just gotten his manager an invite to the party.
Now they're going to stay at the manager's place and watch pornography.
Oh, my God. Okay, that's it? That's all the stories?
It is. So then we wrap it all up with a scene where everybody's at the airport.
What do you mean?
Well, you got some characters arriving, some characters leaving, the Prime Minister's there.
Flying commercial?
Yes, and so then we're done. What do you think?
Well, it sounds like a pretty good time. Just out of curiosity, who are you thinking for that Juliet character?
The one who gets married and then her husband's best friend kind of stalks her a little bit. I was thinking this up-and-coming actress, Keira Knightley.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, she's great. She's 17. Is that cool?
Nothing weird or wrong about that.
So, you have a movie for me?
Yes, sir, I do. I was thinking we could do a live-action Beauty and the Beast.
Oh, what the heck is that?
You've never heard of Beauty and the Beast?
No, I don't really watch movies for entertainment. I usually just throw coins at poor people and see how they react. It's usually not good.
Oh, that's pretty horrible. Anyway, this is an older movie that people love, so if we do it again, they'll give us money.
I love it already, so what's it about?
Well, there's this prince dude, right? And he's just being a big fancy jerk in his castle.
Oh, I like this guy.
No, you're not supposed to yet.
Oh, okay.
So anyway, this enchantress lady comes in acting all poor, but he doesn't help her, so she uses some dark magic to teach him a lesson.
What does she do?
She turns him into a beast.
Wow.
And he can only turn back into a human if he finds true love before all the petals fall off of this rose she gave him.
Okay, pretty straightforward curse, I guess. That should teach him a lesson.
And she also turns all his staff into household items.
What? Why?
Because they're guilty too somehow by also being there while he was being a jerk.
Oh, okay. I guess I could see that.
And they're all gonna turn into straight up antiques and die if the last rose petal falls.
So they get a worse punishment than the actual prince?
They do, and she transforms the dog too.
What did the dog do?
Nothing, and that's the point. The dog should have done something to stop the prince from being a jerk.
Okay, there are a lot of layers to this curse.
Oh, it's not done.
Oh, it's not.
Nope, she also erases the memories of everyone in the nearby town so they don't remember their loved ones who work at the castle.
What, is she a god?
She might be. She also makes it winter around the castle.
Why would that be part of it?
And she leaves the prince an enchanted mirror that lets you see anything you want to see.
That one seems like a straight-up gift.
And a magic book that lets you travel anywhere, anytime you want to go.
Okay, so does the enchantress just stand there explaining all the elements to this curse for like 5 hours? There's a lot going on here.
Yeah, I'm sure she had some kind of magical PowerPoint presentation off-screen.
Anyway, I'm really excited to bring this beast guy to life. That's gonna look awesome.
Oh, for sure. We can have some really cool looks going with like makeup and prosthetics.
Or we could do that motion capture thing, you know, go full CGI with it.
Oh, I don't know how good that's gonna look.
Have you seen what they're doing with Snapchat filters these days?
I have.
So, you know, we could probably make it, like, slightly better looking than a Snapchat filter.
Oh, that doesn't sound great, but okay.
This is gonna age fantastically.
Maybe. So anyway, then we're gonna meet Belle.
Oh, that's French for beauty.
It sure is. This all takes place in provincial France, so you're gonna have to find a bunch of, you know, British actors.
Oh, do you need them to do French accents? Because I can get French actors.
No, they should be British and speak with British accents. They can also be American, but they have to speak with British accents.
Okay, so we're gonna do that thing where they all have British accents, but you're like, oh, okay. Okay, and they're their reality, they're all speaking French?
Well, no, because there's a candlestick and a feather duster that have very thick French accents.
Why would they have French accents?
Well, because they're French, you silly producer.
But everybody's French.
That's right.
I don't know what's going on.
Oh, me neither, but I'm having a great time, aren't you?
It's not as fun as my coin toss game, but I guess it's pretty fun.
Fantastic. So anyway, we meet Belle when she's walking around town, singing about how much she hates living there.
Rude.
And everybody else is singing about her and how weird she is for reading.
What a weird town.
And we're gonna see that Belle invented a washing machine and she's teaching a little girl to read, so, you know, the townspeople do not like that.
Oh, they don't?
No, they don't. So they throw her laundry in the street.
Oh my god, what?
Yeah, see, in the original there was just the song, so it was kinda like, oh, they don't understand her because she reads, but in this one it's like, they straight up hate her.
Well, she did just sing a song about how dumb she thinks the town is.
She did, so I guess it's all fair.
So just to recap, everybody we've met so far is just awful.
Pretty much. So anyway, one day Belle's dad Maurice gets lost in the woods and chased by wolves and ends up in the Beast's castle for shelter.
Okay.
And he eats some food that he assumed was for him and he picks a rose, so Beast throws him in a jail cell.
Why does he do that?
Well, Maurice stole some food and was looking for shelter, so the punishment is, you know, food and shelter forever.
Oh, that doesn't make any sense.
Well, it needs to happen.
How come?
Because the movie needs to happen.
Oh, okay.
So anyway, Maurice's horse goes to get Belle and they run back to the castle to help him.
Oh, that poor horse must be exhausted.
Whatever, whatever. So then Beast has Belle as a prisoner and all the furniture people want them to fall in love to lift the curse.
Right, right, right. This is a very weird movie. I hope you know that.
Oh, I'm very aware, but I'm not sure everybody else is because this is a classic.
Oh, so what else happens?
Well, then Belle's gonna spend the rest of the movie developing just the most romantic case of Stockholm Syndrome you've ever seen.
Oh, criminal romance is tight.
Yeah, it's gonna be great. He's gonna show her some books. He's gonna throw a giant snowball at her face. They're gonna have a little dance.
Wow, 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 wow.
They're gonna travel to Paris with a magic book to check out the plague.
Oh my god.
Yeah, we're gonna add this whole thing about Belle's mom dying in the plague, so they're gonna go check that out with the magic book from the Enchantress.
Oh, so the gifts were plot devices?
Absolutely. So anyway, eventually this bad guy Gaston back in town is gonna accuse her dad of being crazy for talking about a beast.
Uh-oh.
Yeah, so then Belle goes to town with that other plot device to show them that the beast is real.
Oh, so what do they do?
Well, Gaston tells everyone they should kill the beast, so they all take off to do that.
Oh no.
Yeah, so there's gonna be this big fight scene between everyone. Gaston is gonna shoot the beast a couple of times.
Oh man, it's gonna be hard for the good guys to beat Gaston if the beast's been shot.
Actually, it's gonna be super easy. Barely an inconvenience.
Oh, really?
Yeah, see, the castle is crumbling, so Gaston just falls to his death.
Wait, why is the castle crumbling?
Because.
That works.
And so, yeah, now Belle is in love with the beast because he was nice to her a handful of times, and the curse gets lifted.
Wow, and does the Enchantress reveal that she's the devil and she tore families apart for years just because a guy was mean to her once?
Nah, she keeps that to herself.
Probably a good idea.
So what do you think?
Well, I mean, it sounds insane, but you think people are gonna pay us money to see a movie they like with updated effects?
Oh, yeah. I mean, people say they want original movies, but what they really want is the comfort of the familiar.
Well, let's hope we can cash in on that comfort. So, you have a movie for me?
Yes, sir, I do. It's based on a book series about vampires.
Oh, vampires are extremely cool.
Yeah. Not these ones, though.
Oh, they're not?
No, they're not. You know how vampires, like, turn to dust when they're exposed to sunlight?
Yeah.
Well, these ones sparkle like beautiful little diamonds.
Okay. What about mirrors? Do they, like, show up in mirrors?
Yep, these ones certainly do, sir. They seem to be quite amused by them in certain instances as well.
Wow, okay, do they do, like, the basic vampire thing of sucking blood out of people?
No, these ones try not to. They call themselves vegetarians.
Oh, okay.
Most of them go to high school.
I gotta say, I'm not loving this concept so far.
Well, the books have sold millions of copies to brand-loyal preteens with disposable income.
Okay, I gotta say, I'm loving this concept so far.
I thought you might.
So what happens with these sparkly bad boys?
Well, the movie's gonna follow this girl, Bella Swan.
Oh, and what's she like?
What do you mean?
Like, what's her character? What's her personality?
Oh, no, that doesn't apply here.
What?
Yeah, no, she's just as plain as can be, so the girls in the audience can just transpose their personalities onto her.
Oh, okay, yeah, that's smart.
Yeah, so she's just the blankest slave you can imagine.
Aren't the other characters gonna find her boring, though?
No, they're all gonna freak out when she walks into a room like she's the greatest thing ever.
Oh, they are?
Yeah, like at the beginning of the movie, she's starting at a new school and all the guys are all over her and all the girls are like, oh my god, hi.
Wow.
So anyway, then she's gonna find out about this family called the Cullens that go to her high school and they're all secretly vampires.
Do they look like they're of high school age?
No, they're all clearly in their 20s.
So why go to high school?
To blend in.
Do they blend in?
No, they don't.
Seems like it'd be better for vampires to not go to high school. What if a student gets a paper cut?
Well, then it would be over, for sure.
Right, so why do they go to high school?
Because that's where the main character spends her time, and I need them to interact.
Oh, yeah, okay, gotcha. That's all you had to say.
So anyway, Bella develops this romantic thing with one of the vampires, this guy Edward Cullen.
How does that start?
Well, she walks into class, and he looks like he's about to vomit, so that,
you know, really kicks things off.
Oh, romantic puking is tight.
Yeah, so then he's like super rude to her and he stares at her like he pooped his pants and he's trying to see if she noticed.
Undeniably romantic.
It is, so obviously they fall deeply in love with each other.
Because of the poop stares and the meanness.
Yeah, and also he saves her from being pancaked by a van and then gaslights her about it ever happening.
So does she find out that he's a vampire?
Yeah, eventually she figures it out.
How does she do that?
She Googles it.
Oh, characters learning stuff via search engines. That's one of my favorite things to watch.
It is very cinematic, for sure. So then she confronts him about it. She's like, yeah, I know you're a vampire.
And what does he say?
Well, he's like, you shouldn't love me, Bella. I'm like 100 years old and I've killed people.
Oh my God, he's 100?
Yeah, he's 100 years old. And he's like, I've been watching you sleep every night for months. I, a very old man, have been breaking into your room and watching you sleep.
So she realizes how horrifying this is and distances herself?
No, she goes with the exact opposite of that.
Oh, really?
Yeah, she's like a bull. She just sees a red flag and runs at it.
Sure sounds that way.
Yeah, so then they're officially dating, so they start to do, like, romantic stuff.
What kind of stuff are we talking?
Well, he gives her some piggyback rides, they climb some trees, just vampire stuff.
Wow, 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 wow.
There's also this guy, Jacob, right? And he's not gonna do much in this movie, but in the next one, he's gonna be a werewolf.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, and there's gonna be a love triangle, because this guy has visible abs, so that automatically makes him a love interest.
Very cool. And if we're lucky, fans will, like, take sides, you know? Some will be Team Edward, some will be Team Jacob.
My thoughts exactly, sir. There's gonna be a huge debate over which one of these two monsters gets to hook up with a teenage girl.
Wow, now that you phrase it like that, I hate it to my very core.
Oh, whoops.
Whoopsie.
But anyway, eventually it's gonna turn out that he was never in love with her. He was just kind of like in love with her unborn child.
What?
Yeah, eventually when she gets pregnant, he's gonna be like, oh, I am vibing with that fetus. That's my girl right there.
Oh my God.
So anyway, back to this movie, Bella's gonna get to know Edward's family and go play vampire baseball.
I'm sorry, I thought you said vampire baseball, but that's one of the dumbest things I've ever heard. So what did you actually say?
Vampire baseball. Baseball with vampires.
Oh, I did hear correctly. Okay, carry on.
Yeah, so they do that for a bit, but then because something should probably happen in this thing, some bad vampires show up.
Uh-oh, what's their deal?
Well, this one vampire, James, becomes obsessed with Bella, like, right away.
How come?
Because she's the main character.
Right.
Yeah, so we find out that this James guy is, like, the deadliest vampire there is. He's gonna stop at nothing to get what he wants.
Well, sounds like it's gonna be tough to stop him.
Actually, it's gonna be super easy. Barely an inconvenience.
Oh, really?
Yeah, see, they have, like, a little scuffle with him in a dance studio, and then his head pops clean off.
Oh, well, good.
So then they go to prom, and Bella's like, turn me into a vampire, you coward. And he's like, no, it's the first movie. I can't do that yet.
You definitely want to save that for later.
Yeah, and then it just kind of ends. So what do you think?
Well, it sounds like we're going to be able to manipulate teenage girls into giving us money, so I'm happy.
Great.
Although I do kind of feel bad for whoever we end up casting as Edward Cullen.
Yeah, it is going to be tough to book any badass movie roles after being known as the sparkly vampire dude.
So, you have a book adaptation for me.
Yes, sir, I do. It's called 50 Shades of Grey.
And what's it about?
Well, it's kind of like porn, but with a lot more character stuff that's very slow-paced.
Okay. That's it?
Basically, yeah.
Can I get some more details?
They're not really that important.
Okay, but I'd like to hear more, though.
Okay, well, the main character's name is Anastasia Steele.
Did you get that from one of those stripper name generators?
I did.
Those are fun.
They are. I put my name in there and it said Harry Ramrod.
Hilarious. So this character, what's her deal?
So she has to interview this billionaire named Christian Grey.
All right.
And he kinda instantly falls madly in love with her.
So she's like super sexy with a great personality.
Oh, no, 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 no.
Okay.
Yeah, no, her entire deal is that she's very, very plain, so, you know, our target audience could identify with her.
Interesting.
Nope, not interesting.
Right.
Anyway, we're gonna find out that Christian is into BDSM.
Oh, well that is interesting.
You'd think so, but pretty much the entire first movie is him trying to get her to sign a contract.
Well, first movie? There's more than one of these?
Yeah, it's a trilogy.
Wow, what are the other ones called?
Well, the first one is called 50 Shades of Grey.
Right.
And so the second one is called 50 Shades Darker.
Oh.
And so the third one is called 50 Shades... Freed.
Oh, what? It just seemed like you were gonna do something clever there.
It did, didn't it?
But then it was just
nothing, yeah.
Hmm.
So anyway, Christian's gonna be a weird, possessive stalker kind of guy.
And she's gonna come to realize that he's kind of a monster.
No, she's gonna be really into it.
Oh, she is.
Yeah, and by the end of the movie, she's gonna agree to do the full BDSM stuff.
Okay.
And then she's gonna get mad because he did the full BDSM stuff. Okay, so she breaks up with him?
She does, and that's basically how the first movie ends.
Wow.
So in the second movie, they're gonna get back together and try to have a normal relationship.
It's just gonna be about a man and a woman that are in a relationship?
Pretty much, yeah.
Okay, I mean, I guess that sounds like a standard romantic comedy.
Yeah, kind of, except it's not gonna be romantic or funny, and none of the characters are interesting or even likable for that matter.
That sounds kind of boring.
It does, but I did spice things up by throwing some random bullshit in there.
Random bullshit?
Yeah, like at a certain point, Christian just crashes his helicopter in the middle of a forest.
Oh, that is pretty random.
Right?
And we're gonna see him struggle to get back home?
Actually, no, that's gonna be super easy, barely an inconvenience.
Really?
Yeah, he's just gonna show up back home and then we're never gonna talk about it again.
Wow.
We're also gonna have Anastasia's boss randomly try to rape her.
Oh my god.
Yeah, and he's gonna stalk them, like, the whole movie.
Kinda like Christian did.
Yeah, but this time Anastasia's not into it.
Gotcha.
So this guy's gonna have snuck into a masquerade ball at the Grey Mansion, taken a picture of a family picture, printed out that picture, and then later burned it with a cigarette because he's angry.
That seems overly complicated.
Oh, very much so.
Seems like he could've just printed a picture of Christian from the internet and put a cigarette through that.
Could've, yeah.
Or, you know, not done that at all.
Also a possibility.
Huh.
Then there are a couple of characters that are mad that Christian isn't sleeping with them anymore. And that brings us to the third movie.
What happens in that one?
Well, they're married now, so they go on a honeymoon.
Right.
So, yeah.
Okay. I mean, again, it seems like there's not much going on story-wise.
Yeah, there's not. So, I threw some random bullshit in there.
Oh, you did?
Yeah, the characters that are mad about not being the sexual partners of the protagonists are gonna come back in, like, the last 10 minutes of the movie.
Wow.
And that's it.
That's it.
What do you think?
Well, I mean, they say sex sells, so let's put that theory to the test.
Great.
Hi, this is Ryan George from The Thing You Just Watched. Please enjoy this slideshow from The Thing You Just Watched.